Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning. This is Mara. Welcome to You Are Okay with blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for calling in. I hope that you can do so today, and thank you for calling in to listen. Let me take a deep breath. I have been traveling down the valley through the fog to try to get here. I had originally thought that I could do this program from my mom and dad's house, but for some reason up in the country, the North Country of California, things are a bit spotty on the reception, and I could just see myself talking to you and suddenly be gone. I would see suddenly on my switchboard, the host is gone. So I thought that maybe I better make it back to Sacramento, and I did through the fog, which at times felt like a miraculous act. So thank you for coming late. Maybe this is a better time. We'll all see. Certainly, I don't believe in any coincidences. You know, it's kind of interesting. Today we're going to talk about love, and before we do, we will, of course, have a moment where we join our minds and our thoughts together. But I visit my parents and am always overwhelmed by the lessons in love that they taught me. So as you start to calm your mind and take deep breaths, would you for a minute, please, remember the lessons in love that were taught to you? I recognize that sometimes those lessons were conditional love. I'll love you if you do this. But there were times, I'm sure, when you were unconditionally loved by your parents. And if there were not, then know that you are unconditionally loved by the unity of all that exists, that I call God. Unconditionally loved. In recognition of our unconditional loving nature, let's join our minds and our hearts and our thoughts for just one moment and send out loving energy to the universe, to every place on this planet. Let's voice those words of love in our minds that many times have gone unsaid for us for whatever reason. Let's send love to everyone. It's so easy to love your friends. It's even easy to love people who have no negative experiences with you. But as I have asked each week, let's send love to those we consider our enemies or those that we are mad at. Let's invite those people to know all the things that we want for ourselves in life. Peace. Joy. Happiness, security, we send those to all. I one time read a quote that's attributed to the Dalai Lama that basically said that man's nature is love, and if man's nature was not love, man would not exist anymore at all. We would kill each other. Because we're pretty good at killing. We're pretty good at letting anger override our nature. And yet there's always something, somewhere, somehow, some stop. Some stopper that causes us to wake up for a minute and say, what are we doing? I sometimes look at my life, and it was not a life of privilege, but it was a life of privilege in love. The joyous, joyous celebration of love and caring and giving that I saw as a child, that I saw this weekend, that my parents, as they are getting older, reminded me of. Events, simple acts that made me feel valued and loved, and all of which came together to make me the person that I am right now, sitting here talking to you about what does love have to do with it. Now, I'm not here to espouse any particular religion or even any particular approach to the spirit except love. we are loved just as we are, unconditionally. When I say namaste to another person, which means I salute your inner divinity, I am recognizing my connection to that person, and I am sending them love in my word. There is a lovely section in the New Testament that we usually hear at weddings. It's a little bit long, but we have a little bit longer today. And I'm going to say it, and hopefully I will read it quickly, but it will remind all of you that it starts with loving yourself. Love. I may be able to speak the language of men and even of angels, but if I have no love, my speech is no more than a noisy gong or a clanging bell. I may have the gift of inspired preaching. I may have knowledge and understand all secrets. I may have all the faith needed to move mountains, but if I have no love, I have nothing. I may give away everything I have and even give up my body to be burned, but if I have no love, this does me no good. Love is patient and kind. It is not jealous or conceited or proud. Love is not ill-mannered or selfish or irritable. Love does not keep a record of wrongs. Love is not happy with evil, but is happy with the truth. Love never gives up, and its faith, hope, and patience never fail. Love is eternal. There are inspired messages, but they are temporary. There are gifts of speaking in strange tongues, but they will cease. There is knowledge, but it will pass. For our gifts of knowledge and of inspired messages are only partial. But when what is perfect comes, then what is partial will disappear. When I was a child, my speech, feelings, and thinking were all those of a child. Now that I am a woman, I have no more use for childish ways. What we see now is like a dim image in a mirror. Then we shall see face to face. What I know now is only partial. Then it will be complete as God's knowledge of me. Meanwhile, these three remain: faith, hope, and love. And the greatest of these is love. I always find it interesting that we're willing to share that rather long monologue in the context of marriage, and we keep it as though it's a nucleus. Only a commitment we can make to one other person. And yet, I suggest that in happiness, in peace, in joy, we would love each other, and our eyes would soften to one another, and our hearts would soften to one another. And we would recognize that our natures are united in our oneness. And so when we would go to judge someone else as lacking, we would look at ourselves and realize that in my entirety, in my wholeness, if you are lacking, then so am I. Because I am joined with you in love. So how have we gotten all cattywampus on this? Somehow because we believe that some people are better than others, some are more deserving than others, some are more valuable than others, some religions are better than others, some practices are better than others, and some people deserve more than their share. Wow. Maybe it all turns on the last statement. Some people deserve more than their share. That seems to be a contaminating, tainted thought in our species. we can justify how much we have the comfort we have by deeming another person less worthy. They somehow have sinned in the eyes of God. They are less than. And so it makes it okay for us not to share. So what does love have to do with it? Let me tell you the story of Jacob. I may not have the name exactly right, but it's a story the rabbi shared with me that I adore. One day, Jacob asked the rabbi, "Rabbi, I suffer so much." The rabbi was taken aback because Jacob had so much. He was blessed in all things, money, property, servants, food. And yet here he was suffering. What's that about? He said, "Rabbi, teach me about suffering." And the rabbi said, "You need to go visit Ishmael. Ishmael will teach you the lessons of suffering." So Jacob began the walk to go see Ishmael. It was a time of walking. And finally he came upon this hovel on the road. Children running everywhere and a man walking, disabled with a crutch type thing. And he goes up and he says, "Can you help me? I'm looking for Ishmael." The man with the crutch looks at Jacob and says, fearfully almost, "I'm Ishmael. What do you need of me?" And the man is taken aback. "Ishmael, the rabbi says that I should talk to you." Well, if the rabbi said that Ishmael should talk to this man, the rabbi's right, and Ishmael is talking, and they talked, and they talked, and they talked about all sorts of things. But the issue at hand. They talked so long that it became time to eat. And Ishmael's wife came to the door and told them that food was ready. And they all went inside to eat. And there was only one chair reserved for Jacob. Everyone else sat on the ground. The wife then put a pot in the middle of the table, and the pot was one solo potato in broth coming from the potato. Ishmael graciously took the potato from the pot and gave it to Jacob, their guest. Everyone else ate bread and potato water, ravenously. And when the meal was done, Ishmael was finally brave enough to say, "The rabbi said you should talk to me. What should we talk about? What do you want to know?" Jacob looked at Ishmael and said, "The rabbi said that you could teach me about suffering." Ishmael, in love, looked around, and he said, "Suffering? I can't teach you about suffering. I am so blessed. I have a wonderful roof over my head, beautiful children, a charming wife, and I have enough food to share with you, my new friend. What do I know of suffering?" What do I know of suffering? Martin Buber at the Turning stated that he who loves brings God and the world together. I think Ishmael kind of showed us that, didn't he? I'd like to share a quote from Paramahansa Yogananda, and then I want to invite you all to call in. We've given an extra period of time today. Paramahansa Yogananda stated in, once again, "Inner peace how to be actively calm or calmly active and actively calm. Give greatest importance to cultivating through daily soul awakening meditation. May I start that again? Give greatest importance to cultivating through daily soul awakening meditation your relationship with God and your inner happiness. When you are in the perfect calm of soul awareness, you see God moving in all creation. You do not see the world anymore as a nightmare of troubles, but as an entertaining spectacle to be enjoyed. Then you shall smile from the depths of your being, a smile that can never be destroyed. What does love got to do with it? Everything, my friends, everything. I'm going to play the chimes and hopefully we will get some calls. If not, I'm going to keep talking. While we're waiting for the phone calls, let me talk to you about what we have coming up. I have asked my dear friend Bob to co-host this show with me. We're periodically going to have guests, with exciting names like hopefully Micah and also hopefully Jenny. Each one of them will be asked to talk a little bit about their living in life. I'm hoping that Jenny will talk to us about how it is to have grown up different and now to be raising a child who's different. By different, I mean being a heightened sixth sensor. Micah is going to talk about being a heightened sixth sensor and also about just living in life. And Bob and I kind of journey together, not in the man-woman kind of concept that most people think about it, people journeying together, but in the sense that together we learn to be more. We share information which helps the other grow in the light. It's not always an easy journey here on this planet. I think Ishmael shows us that. I think certainly visiting my mom and dad who live in a trailer that my mother has beautifully, beautifully decorated with images of her family. We are there from the moment we were born till now, although I tend to avoid the camera. You look at my picture, you can see why. But they may not have much in terms of possessions. And that may enable other people to judge them as being less than. But they have this pot at the end of the rainbow that is eternally full of love. There is always another pot to put in, there's always another potato to put into the pot. There's always a guest who deserves a piece of meat, even if one of them did not or I do not. There's always a garment of clothing that can be shared. There's always a gallon of gas that can be invested in taking someone somewhere or picking them up. There's always a turkey that should go to the Salvation Army because, as my dad says, they feed thousands of people on Thanksgiving Day. At the risk of sounding political, I have to ask, how is it that we as a society can judge other people as being less than us and therefore justify them being on the street without food and shelter, when we are giving thanks for our abundance? Does anyone else see the contradiction in that? the confusion in that? For me, it breaks my heart. It breaks my heart. I went to Italy once. Isn't that kind of exciting? It was for me. And I was standing outside this glorious cathedral in Florence, Firenze. And I was with a Catholic pilgrimage. It's kind of interesting because I'm not Catholic. I'm really not sure that I'm any faith anymore because I believe in every faith. If it takes you to joy and light and happiness and above all else love, then do it. So here I am, and they didn't judge me. They let me come along on the pilgrimage, and it was wonderful. And there was only one teeny tiny little blip on the screen, and it was there as I stood in this grand courtyard like nothing I have seen in my life. I have to tell you that I think the distance between the Capitol and there's like a big mall park there is smaller than this large expanse. And standing there was a woman with a small child, and she came up to me, and we all know what she was coming up to me for. Alms. And as I reached in my pocket to pull out, I want to say lira, but I don't know. It was a foreign currency. No disrespect intended to my friends listening in Italy. It was money. And I reached over to hand it to her. Every woman in our pilgrimage came rushing back to attend to me and advise me, don't give my money to that woman. Why not, I say. The father says no. What? Well, the father says, this all went much faster than I'm talking, obviously. The father says we don't give them money because there is a man sitting way over there, and it had to be a long way off, in a Mercedes-Benz, and she has to take her money to him because she's a gypsy. Oh, my gosh, folks, what does that sound like? Us, and them. So she's a gypsy. Now, the fact she had a child who looked like she was hungry and it was not well clothed, and this woman, who knows, I wasn't supposed to give money to her because there was the potential there was a gypsy man waiting, a prince or something. Ladies, gentlemen, my friends, it's between me and God what I do with my money, how I exercise my love. It's between her and God what she does with the money once she gets it. We cannot love people conditionally. We cannot give conditionally. We should not give for glory. We must give hands open, free, no strings attached. No strings attached. Each person gets to live their own life. Each person gets to make their own decisions. When we justify not making decisions grounded in love because someone else is not acting in love or the way we think love should act, we're interfering with our destiny, not theirs. We're stopping ourselves from being our highest selves. As I was traveling down the valley today to get home for this, the song Amazing Grace, or part of it, kept going through my mind. You know, Amazing Grace, how sweet thou art, that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now
home am found. Once blind, but now I see.
The grace we are seeking, my friends, is not a grace that separates us one from the other, that makes a Christian better than a Jew or better than a Muslim. Oh, wow, no one can be better than a Jew or better than a Buddhist or better than this. The grace we are looking for is love. And of these, faith, hope, and love, love is the most precious. Treasuring each other, valuing each other, respecting each other, taking events and looking at them in the spin of things, so that we come back to a place where we see things in their best light, where we see people as acting through motivations we may not understand. I don't know if there was a gypsy prince waiting over there. And even if there was a gypsy prince waiting over there, he might need my money. There might be a need that I cannot reconcile with my ideas of right and wrong. And I'm suggesting to you that when we condition our love to our children or to others, we are doing a disservice to ourselves. Now, how do we raise children who feel loved no matter what, who know that we are trying to teach them socially acceptable skills for our country, for our time? And believe me, with the MySpace generation, our time is a-changin'. What does that mean? That means right is suddenly different than it used to be. We need to give up on judgments. We need to love. We need to ignore belly rings, tattoos. We need to ignore multicolored hair. We need to ignore risque talk. We need to ignore words of meanness, of aggression, because I want to suggest to you that if we do not come to a place where we give peace a chance with love, it will never happen, because we always have a reason not to act in love. We always have a reason not to give peace a chance. We always have a reason to deny our fundamental nature, which is love. So let us again today look at our lives as we approach this holiday, Thanksgiving. Look at those things that we appreciate and value. And let us, as a unit, reach out to others in love. Make sure there are enough turkeys. The next time you have a chance to share a dollar, a quarter, a penny, share. And now, I send to all of you loving thoughts. I hold you in my heart, always. Namaste, my friends. May love enfold you, and may this holiday season enrich each and every one of your lives as you reach out to embrace all those around you.